Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Sharon Brody. A new political landscape looms for Massachusetts politics, with Joe Biden in the White House. To consider the changes, we turn to Kimberly Atkins. She's a senior opinion writer at the Boston Globe and previously was WBUR's Washington, D.C.-based news correspondent. We asked her what kind of influence the state's congressional delegation might have in the new administration.
Well, I think that the delegation will have a really big impact on the Biden administration. I mean, one of President-elect Joe Biden's key advisors throughout the campaign and transition has been Elizabeth Warren, and she is seen as someone who could help push Biden toward more progressive policies on everything from environmental issues to how he crafts his budget and his domestic spending priorities. So definitely I would see her someone who is powerful. Also, Senator Ed Markey, particularly on the issue of climate, he, of course, is the co-author of the Green New Deal, and he will certainly be in Joe Biden's ear about progressive climate policies. But also on the House side, you have leadership. Catherine Clark is the assistant speaker of the House and is someone who wielded a tremendous amount of influence and power, certainly in the impeachment proceeding and that impeachment vote, as well as Jim McGovern, who's the head of the Rules Committee, who crafts legislation and gets it to the floor in a way that will be crucial when Joe Biden is pushing forward his legislative priorities.
What insights do you have into the delegation's their different priorities and the sort of strategies for how to work with the Biden administration and whether this could make the Massachusetts delegation have more conflicts within itself?
The delegation is not monolithic at all. It's the more moderate members of the delegation are the ones who backed Joe Biden early. People like Congressman Stephen Lynch and Congressman Seth Moulton once he himself ended his presidential bid. So you have those folks who certainly are much more in line with Joe Biden. And you have a lot of progressive folks, including Ayanna Pressley, who will be pushing a much more progressive agenda. I think so far what we've seen, and in my time covering this delegation for several years, is that while their priorities are different, they seem to sort of work together in a pretty good way in trying to pick and choose their initiatives that they push forward and not really have tension with one another. They respect the fact that they represent different districts, that they come from different places, that they have different ideas and views. And you haven't seen the kind of tension that you can see in the broader House or in the broader Senate when it comes to those divisions. Also, in Catherine Clark, the assistant speaker, you have someone who she herself is very progressive, but knows how to work very well with other moderate members in the House more broadly. So I think she is a moderating force there too.
And now let's talk about Marty. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh is going to be in Biden's cabinet as labor secretary. How much of an effect do you think that will have locally in terms of, you know, whether it gives the city, the state, some advantage compared to the rest of the country?
Well, certainly when you have a cabinet member who is from Boston, somebody who is of Boston and who knows Boston very well, that will serve the city very well when it comes to policies that will help it. And it's crucial right now. I mean, the issue of labor is a crucial one coming out of this pandemic, coming out of the economic recession that it caused. Marty Walsh is no stranger here. He worked with the Obama administration, was frequently here for events at the White House. He has that connection. He has that understanding. And he's been sort of been in Washington's ear with Boston's issues for quite some time now.
And Kimberly, how do you see the new political landscape in Washington affecting Governor Baker? He's one of the few Republican leaders who did not support Trump, but he wasn't really out front as a never Trump GOP person. So how do you think this plays out?
A lot of times Governor Baker is compared to Larry Hogan, the governor of Maryland, as Republicans who are not Trumpers who speak out against them. But you do not see Governor Baker speaking out against President Trump. You haven't in the same way that you have with Governor Hogan. Right now, the Republican Party doesn't have a big space for moderate Republicans you see the people who have coalesced behind Trump. It really is the party of Trump. And you have a few outsiders who oppose Trump who speak out. But for the most part, particularly here in Washington, those folks don't have very long of a political life, and they haven't over the last 4 years. And perhaps that's one reason that Governor Baker tends to keep his head down in that sense. I mean, Governor Baker's at odds with the state's own GOP. I think it would be certainly easier for him to work with President-elect Biden than it was with President Trump on bigger issues. But we'll have to see how that plays out.
Kimberly Atkins is a senior opinion writer at the Boston Globe, based in Washington.